Today is Father's Day, and it naturally leads us, of course, to think about fathers. And I came upon Proverbs 14:26 as I was reading one time, and it stuck out to me. And it really shows the blessings of a godly father, and really godly parents as well. But specifically, we're going to look at godly fatherhood today. But you think about the importance of fatherhood, and fathers has often been devalued and diminished in our culture over time. I want you to think about, just briefly, think about how fathers are portrayed on TV shows, in movies. And most often, not always, but many times, they're sort of portrayed as kind of dumb or goofy, or to say the least. And that's kind of it. And sometimes they're showed as distracted or uninvolved and sort of just taking up space. Now, certainly there are fathers out there who fit the bill, right? But what happens when we are bombarded with these images time and time again is what happens is we start to trivialize fatherhood and act as if it's sort of unnecessary to a healthy family. I was looking in an opinion piece published in the New York Times. And this lady named Jane Matz, a psychotherapist, says that fathers are not indispensable. They are not indispensable. She states this, as more women are graduating from college and are able to provide a sufficient income to support a family, it is no longer necessary for them to marry in order to support a child. She points to the fact that many women are now just choosing to have children on their own rather than risk having a man who's a bad husband or father. And she claims it doesn't impact children, for they just have positive influences from other people. And she ends her article by saying that her organization was founded 30 years ago, and she says this, quote, we have seen a generation of our children grow up and turn out just fine, end quote. Like, are they just fine? Like, is it perfectly acceptable to just have one parent by choice because children will just be influenced by others, they'll all be fine, it'll all turn out okay, right? Do you see how devalued the father's role is? It's kind of this idea of, yeah, it's nice to have a father, but if you don't have one, no big deal, it'll turn out just fine, they'll have positive influences by other people, it'll be fine, guys. Another article was in the Atlantic. And in it, they claim that the impact of fathers may not be in their fatherhood, but just simply in adding an extra person in the mix, right? So it's just the additional resources that another person brings that makes the difference, and that's it. And so basically, it doesn't matter if it's a man as a second parent, right? But it's just helpful just to have another person around, and that's it. And so you think, is that really the testimony of the Bible? Now, of course, we would certainly say other people can have positive influences on children and do good things in that way. Certainly, some children do turn out okay without a father around. But the structure that God has set up, right, and for which we should strive for is a father and mother, two-parent home centered around God. And this is not merely just some traditional family values that I'm holding on to and that I need to move into the 21st century. No, this is the setup that God has set up himself. He has created it. He has structured the family to be this since the creation. And this is what leads to a healthy, stable home. And a big part of this, of course, of this God-centered, healthy home is a father who fears the Lord. A father who fears the Lord. Listen to Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. And so the first thing I want to show you from this verse is very simply, first, a godly father fears the Lord. And so we see that, of course, come out. Because it matters what kind of father you are, doesn't it? It matters what kind of father. You know, as Christians, we don't say, oh, as long as there's a father in the home, it doesn't matter how they live. No, we don't say that. Of course not. Of course, we emphasize and we push for fathers in the home, but we also know those fathers should be godly fathers. They should be godly fathers. Because you see, the Bible says the fathers can actually provoke their children, which leads their children to being discouraged. We see bad examples in Scripture of bad fathers, right? Eli the priest, who let his sons continue in wickedness. You have extreme examples of wicked Israelite kings who actually sacrificed their sons to idols. These are bad fathers. And so we don't just settle with, okay, as long as the father's in the home. We point to God's word and we teach that fathers are to be godly fathers. They're to be godly fathers. And a big part of godly fatherhood is a man who fears the Lord. A man who fears the Lord. Now, as you think about the fear of the Lord, it can be somewhat of a misunderstood concept, right? Because it's not simply being terrified of the Lord and that's it, right? It's not like being terrified of spiders, heights, or ghosts, right? It's a reverential fear. It's this acknowledgement that God is superior, that God is majestic, glorious, all-powerful. And so, of course, there's that side of this recognition that God is the judge. He could do with me as he well pleases, but it's tempered with this love and this trust in this God and this holy, all-powerful one. It's sort of like, let's just say you had a good earthly father. You feared disobeying him, but on the other hand, you knew he was loving and kind, and you could draw near to him all the same. That's sort of the idea of fear of the Lord. It's this proper view of God, this reverential respect towards God, and this proper trust and love for God, right? It's to think this, God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. That is a big part of fear of the Lord. There's this reverence in it, and there's humility in it. And the proverb says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the fear of the Lord is this foundational posture of a person of faith, which then leads to godliness and wisdom and living a life like that. And so it's this person who they have this foundation right, how I view God and I reverence him and I am not God and I'm going to obey him, I'm going to love him and I trust him. And so you have this foundation, you have the ABCs right, so now you can live out the XYZs of life, right? That's sort of the idea. And so, fathers, the most important, helpful thing for you to be the father that God has called you to be is to fear God. Is to fear God. Do you acknowledge that God is God and he calls the shots? Do you humbly bow to his word? Do you trust him even when it's hard? Do you love him above all? You see, this proper view and reverence for God leads a father to shape his identity primarily as a child of God. They shape the identity primarily as a child of God. And so a godly father thinks of himself first as a child of God. I am a child of God. And that impacts then how I father, right? How I live. Because if you primarily see yourself as I am a child of God, then how could I act like I am the ultimate boss? That I am the one who calls all the ultimate shots? If you see yourself as a child of God, how could you treat other children of God in abusive ways? In harmful ways? As below you? And if you remember you're primarily a child of God who is loved, who is called to obey your Heavenly Father, it changes everything. Right? Because now you submit your life and your actions and your values and your priorities under your Heavenly Father. And this fear of the Lord shapes then everything. Shapes everything. Because you think, how am I to father? Well, what does my Heavenly Father say? Right? How am I to love? What does my Heavenly Father show me? What does he show me about love? And so you just imagine the difference in each of our homes if our godly fathers feared the Lord. Wouldn't humility prevail? Because they understood, I am not ultimate. God is ultimate. He is ultimate. And so humility would prevail. What about this? Wouldn't men step up and be the godly leaders that they should be? Wouldn't they say, we are going to church and we are going to serve? Wouldn't they say, we are going to do this because God has called us to do this. We are not going to do this. God said, this is sinful. That is how a fear of the Lord shows itself in godly fatherhood. Like, wouldn't fathers provide and protect, lead and train, love and show mercy, just like God, the mercy of God showing it to others? And so this is just a wondrous picture, and it all goes back to that simple fact, godly fathers fear the Lord. And so you think about the macho man, what do they say? I fear nothing. The godly man says, I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. That's the difference. And what does the proverb say? In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. And so it's due to your relationship with the Lord that a father can have this security in life that brings great assurance because they find refuge in God, who is the one and only true solid basis. And so you think about life in the midst of changing circumstances, changing world, changing pressures, changing temptations, a man of God can have strong confidence. And so this isn't this confidence of the macho tough guy. This is confidence, what, in the Lord. And there's a difference, a big difference. Because if you look at the life, in many cases, men often go to one of two extremes. Right? For some, they rely solely on their own strength and toughness, and often they become those who are domineering in their manhood, and so these men often misuse their role, right? And so they have a rightful leadership role, but they misuse it in many ways. But the other extreme is to be timid and weak and to not step up and do and be what God has called you to do and be, and these men neglect their role. And so one misuses, one neglects. And so they're both wrong. But the issue is both kinds of fathers are looking for their strength and their confidence in the wrong place. Right? In the domineering man, he's looking and trusting in his own strength. In the weak man, he's looking and feeling insecure about his own strength. But our strength is not to be found in ourselves, it's to be found in the Lord. That's where we get our strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. And so as you think about the many problems that men often show off into the world, right? And you see that men's fundamental problem is not some toxic, strong masculinity. Men's fundamental problem is not weakness either. Their fundamental problem isn't that they are too strong or too weak. Their fundamental problem is they are not strong in the Lord. That is the difference. They aren't strong in the Lord. And so then they're looking for their strength, or they're not finding their own strength, or either showing it off in dominant ways or being too weak and timid. It's that they don't find their trust, their confidence, their assurance in God, but they find it in other things, and they misuse their role. They neglect their role. Because if you find your confidence in your muscles, in your power, you're going to misuse them. You're going to try to demand respect in domineering ways to show off your strength in front of others. If you don't find your strength in anything, you're going to be a weak, timid man. But when the fear of the Lord is your strength, you have a strong confidence. Because you are standing upon something solid, something unchanging, something worthy to be or standing upon. You see, godly men are strong men, but they are strong men because their strength is in the Lord. Their strength is strength under control because they have nothing to prove. It's not their strength, it's God's. Their strength is strength used in loving ways because they're modeling the strength of Christ. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. And so men can have strong confidence. When? When they stand upon the truth. When they stand upon the truth, instead of being a wave tossed around by every lie of the day or trend of the day, they can have strong confidence because they can be assured of their own forgiveness. In that way, they can readily forgive other people. They can have strong confidence as they're confident in the eternal life they possess. And so therefore, they can take a risk for their family. They can take a risk for the cause of Christ. They can have strong confidence in their God. No matter what comes their way, they can stand up to the test. When a godly father fears the Lord, he has strong security because he trusts the Lord. When trials come, what does he do with his family? He says, let's look to God. He has all the might. He is in control. When temptations assail, what does he do? He takes up the shield of faith. He holds it in front of his family and says, this will extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And when sorrows come, you find him with an open Bible in a prayer-soaked room. That's a man with strong confidence because his confidence is in the Lord. His refuge is his God. It's his relationship with God that leads him to this sure trust amid life's trials and changing temptations. You see, it is not some self-confidence. It is not a lack of confidence. It is a God confidence that won't ebb and flow with the changing tides. This is the kind of fathers that we need. This is the kind of fathers we need to be. That's not the whole verse, because we also see the results of this godly fatherhood. Number two, a godly father is a blessing to his children. As I said earlier, many today think that fathers aren't essential. But interestingly, even research reveals the impact of godly fathers. And one area this is seen is in church attendance. There was this Swiss study done back in the 1990s which showed the impact of a father's church attendance or lack of attendance on his children. In it, they found this. If a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife is, only one child in 50 will become regular church attenders. On the other hand, if a father does regularly go, regardless of the practice of the mother, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will become churchgoers. That's a big difference. So apparently it's primarily the father's practice of church attendance that makes the most difference in a child's life as to whether they're going to follow that path. Now, of course, this is not to say that mothers don't make an impact on their children. They do. It doesn't go to say that every child will fall in line with those stats. Of course not. It's simply to say that fathers have a great impact on their children in regards to their faith. Because you think about this, if you're a child and you see your father does not take any interest in spiritual things, they'll most likely think, well, he doesn't think it's important. Why would I? Right? The leader doesn't. Why would I care? Dad never showed it. Dad never cared. Why would I live that way? If the leader of the home doesn't consider something crucial, why would others in the family? And those who are exceptions to this trend, you're evidence of the grace of God. That despite that, God would work in your life. And we praise God for that. But a godly father is truly a blessing to his family. Look at the verse, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Have a refuge. As a father finds his security and trust in the Lord, so his children are led to the same refuge in the Lord. They're led to the same way. The same refuge of a godly father becomes the refuge of the children. And this is a marvelous blessing. Because a father, godly father, finds security and confidence in the refuge of God, and his children are impacted by that. Because what do they see? What do they see about dad? What do they see about their father? They see he clings to Christ even in the darkest days. They see their father follow God's word even when it's hard. They see their dad has stability in life because his life is secure in the Lord. And so what a blessing it is for a child to witness their dad have purpose, have direction, have a foundation, have a refuge. because they realize this isn't a wave-tossed home. Of course, maybe we have different jobs and things, but ultimately, his refuge is in God. This is not a wave-tossed home going with the lies of the world. No, this is a stable home because Dad's refuge is in God. His refuge is in God. A father who fears the Lord becomes to his children sort of like an oak of righteousness. An oak of righteousness. And his children are taught and shown how to run to the Lord, how to find shelter in the Lord, how to sit in peace under his wings. And so, fathers, let me encourage you and remind you, do you realize the impact that you can have on your children? Do you realize the impact? Because you think about what this verse is saying, it's saying that your godly life can have an impact on future generations to come. And that's just amazing to think about. You can leave a legacy of faith, right? You can affect and influence generations after you for Christ, and that is just a privilege and an honor. And so what an opportunity, fathers, that we have to lead your children to find refuge in God. In fact, let me share with you another proverb shows this truth. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." And so the children of those who live righteous, godly lives are blessed. They're blessed. Why? Because their parents demonstrate this firm adherence to God's word by living it out, right? They live it out. They see the good examples of their parents day in and day out. Now, of course, this is not going to be perfect, right? It's not going to be perfect, but their witness, a mother and a father who are seeking to follow God. They see parents who promptly admit when they are wrong and readily forgive when someone sins against them. They see parents who struggle, yes. But they see parents who, through those struggles, they cling to the feet of Jesus as their only hope and trust. They see parents who model what it looks like for God to be their refuge. And often, many times, children are greatly impacted by this. They're led to follow the same path. So we see they're blessed because they see this amazing example, this good godly example. But they're also blessed in another way. They're blessed because they get to experience the blessings of a godly father leading the home, right? To lead the home in righteousness and godliness. They get to experience the blessings of a father who sacrificially leads and loves like Christ, putting the needs of his wife and his children above his own. He isn't domineering. He's a servant leader like Christ. But he also isn't weak or passive or timid because he steps up and leads the home as he has been called to do. And that kind of father is only going to bless his children because he is providing this safe place for his children. They have this place where they know when I go home, it is a place seeping with grace. It is a place with understanding and there is forgiveness when I sin. Or when others sin. Forgiveness is extended to me, and I'm going to extend forgiveness to them. They have a godly leader who they can follow, and they know who will lead them and treat them right. They have a father who points them to Christ, and they know that whatever they go through, they can go to Dad, and he's going to point me to Jesus. You see, a big role of a godly father is to wisely teach the truth. And you see that throughout Proverbs, but here's one example. Proverbs 4:1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. You know, from the Bible, it's expected that fathers would bring up their children, right, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so fathers are teachers. They're trainers. They're discipliners. And they help guide and lead and shape their children and their family with the Word of God. But let me ask you, fathers, how can you do all that unless you fear the Lord? How can you teach your children the truth if you're neglecting it? How can you train up your children in the right way if you see a church attendance as something that's not that important? Because parents, we don't always think this way. But your priorities and values will shape your children. Your priorities and values are going to shape your children. And if you take church lightly, they're probably going to take it even more lightly. If you don't see God's word as that important, they probably won't either. And so think through, what is your life communicating to other people? What is your life communicating to your children about your priorities, about your values? Because let me tell you, kids, they will see through the public face that you put on. Your children will see right through your public face you put on at church. Like, you don't think they're going to notice, he acts one way at church, but at home, he is the complete opposite. You don't think they're going to notice that your faith isn't real to you? That your faith isn't real to you in the day-to-day grind of life? You see, your faith has to be real to you. It has to be real to you in the day-to-day life. On a Tuesday in October, whatever it may be, that your faith is real to you, that you're going through a trial, and I am clinging to Christ, and I'm not looking perfect, but I'm clinging to Christ. My God is my refuge. They're going to notice that. And they're going to notice on a Thursday in February when you're just lounging around saying, eh, who cares about church? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? Your values are going to be seen, and they are going to shape your kids. They're going to see what you're really like. They're going to see, does Christianity really impact people's lives? And they're going to look to their parents first. Did it impact my kid, my parents? Did it do anything for them? Was it all just a show? Was it just a thing to tack on the list? Was it just a to-do thing? Or was it real? Was it real to them? When it got hard, but even when it got easy, were they thankful, grateful people? Were they loving? Were they serving? Were they hospitable? Were they loving to others? They're going to see that. And that's going to shape them. And so you can't just expect to bring them to church and all will be well, but then you're not living it out. No, you are the big molder and shaper of them. Of course, church and Sunday schools and things like that aid and support and help in parenting, but ultimately, you are the biggest influence on them. And so you need to be reminded of that. So your refuge, get this, must actually be in the Lord. It must actually be, and you can't just act like God is your refuge. You can't just say it. He must actually be in the refuge. They must see you clinging to Christ. They must see you as your family is going through a trial, and you're saying, what does God's word say? Let's open up in prayer. Let's pray about this. Let's look to God. They're going to see that, and they're going to say his refuge is in God. That is what they're going to see. Because if you only act like God is your refuge, they will know. And they will think, then why would he be my refuge? Why would he be my refuge if they just acted like it was, but not in the day-to-day life? And it's going to impact and show off my life. A godly father is a blessing to his children, and the result is that children take pride in their father. Listen to Proverbs 17:6. Grandchildren are the crown of the age, and the glory of children is their father's. The glory of children is their fathers. And the idea is this. It's not like every single instance, but many times in Proverbs it's saying a general truth. Generally, a godly father leads their children to glory, boast in, and take pride in their father. That is what it's saying. Because they look at their father and they see someone honorable. They see someone respectable. For the way that he lives, and his values and priorities, and the way that he lived and led the family. And so the idea, he's not someone that they are ashamed of or embarrassed about, but they look up to their father. And this is the beautiful result of a godly father, is that they become someone their children aspire to be. They become someone that they can boast about in the Lord. That my father was a godly man. He led in love, in mercy. He served us sacrificially. He showed the priority of God as our refuge, the priority of service in the church, of love to one another, of faithfulness in church attendance. That is what they will boast about. Because he's someone who simply lived a Holy Spirit-led life, a Christ-centered life, a God-glorifying life, and that is something commendable. That is something commendable. And so, fathers, fear the Lord, and your children will be blessed. Fear the Lord, and your children will be blessed. Now, I know that this talk of godly fathers brings many different thoughts and feelings. I understand that. Because I know, I'm not ignorant of this fact, that for some of you, you did not have a godly father at all. For some of you, maybe dad wasn't even around. Or for others, he wasn't a godly man. Please know that God works and saves people despite not having a godly father, not having even a father around. And if that's you, you being here today is probably a testament to that truth, that God works in our lives, even under not ideal situations, even in horrible situations sometimes, that God even works miracles. He does amazing things. He works even through messes to bring out something beautiful, and you are a testament to that. So praise God for his work, even amidst that situation that you may have experienced. But also, if that was you, know that God, our Heavenly Father, is a father to the fatherless. He is the perfect Father, the perfect Heavenly Father. He's the perfect and present Heavenly Father that you need. And so he knows what you went through. He cares. And he wants you to draw near to him today. Or maybe you're here today, and maybe you're someone who's an older father, right? And your kids are all grown up, and they're out of the home. And maybe even for you, as you look back, there are some things that you regret. There are some things that you think, man, I was not a godly example. I could have definitely been a better father. And maybe there's that weight of guilt sometimes comes upon you because you realize all of the things that you have done or didn't do, whatever it may be. And I want you to rest in Christ's forgiveness, because know that there is no sin beyond God's grace. Rest in God's forgiveness. His grace flows to you, but also know this, that you can still be a godly father even today. It's never too late. It's never too late, because you can make an impact on your children even now. It's going to be looking different, right? It's going to look different because they're grown up and they're on their own. But the truth is, you can still be a godly influence. Is you can still be a godly example. You can still give good advice. You can show them still someone whose refuge is the Lord. And you may have not have done that in the past, but now you can show that. And you can show a difference that Christ has made in your life. And you can show them someone who has been impacted by grace. Because imagine the impact on their hearts when you just so readily forgive them, even when they have done something so hurtful to you, and they're shocked. Like, how could he do that? I did this thing to you, him, and yet he's being so readily forgiving to me. But also imagine the impact on their hearts if you went to them and went repentant and apologizing, and you said, I'm sorry for not being godly father, that wasn't right. I know that affected you. I know it hurt you in deep, harmful ways. Will you forgive me? Even starting now, you can fear the Lord, and you can still bless your children in even those small ways. And so we should recognize, and we should celebrate, and we should be thankful for the godly fathers that we had or have, if we had or have one. And let's recognize and acknowledge the big, important role that Christian fathers have. And let's encourage them on in their task, in their work. And so, dads, as we conclude here, I want you to think about this. When your children are at the end of their lives, what will really matter? Think about your children, if you have any. What will really matter at the end of their lives? Do you want to only bless your children in shallow, temporary ways? Yeah, you bless them by teaching them how to handle their finances and how to hit a ball. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we should. But do you want those things to be the only ways that you bless them? The only way. Don't you want to bless them in ways that affect them both now and into eternity? Don't you want them to be able to say, Dad taught me to find refuge in God. And when they went through their hardest moments, they remembered your example, and they too look to the Lord and find shelter in His wings. Don't you want them to be able to say, I was blessed by the example of my father who had strong confidence because his only hope was Christ and Christ alone. His strength was in God, and now they find refuge in the Lord, and they impact their kids, who their kids impact their kids, and it goes on, and the treasures in heaven will be great. The lives impacted for eternity will be numerous. Now, this doesn't, of course, promise that your kids will all turn out godly. It doesn't. But you are called to do your part, and that's what matters. What has God called us to? Faithfulness. We leave the results up to Him. We're called to be faithful. We're called to do what He has called us to do. And He handles the rest. And so we do our part. That's what matters. We find our strength in Him. We keep pointing them to Christ. Keep being faithful. That is what God cares about. And finally, let's just strip it all down to the studs, so to say. How can a father live this way? Like, what causes him to go back to this foundation of fear the Lord? Because really, that's the foundation that leads to everything else. What is it that causes him to fear God? It is because the grace of God in Christ Jesus has changed his heart. Because he has understood the truth that he was a sinner who deserved only eternal condemnation. Nothing in himself was good or worthy of eternal life. And he didn't really deserve anything good at all. Yet in marvelous grace, God sent His only Son to die on the cross and take His place and then rise again, so securing eternal life for Him, because only because He placed His faith in Jesus Christ alone, He can be saved and forgiven and given eternal life. You see, it is that great act of Jesus, that great act of sacrificial and substitutionary love, grace, and mercy that changes a man. That's what changes a man. From the inside out. And it's through simple faith in Jesus, he is radically changed. The Bible says he is a new creation in Christ. And now, that changes someone from the inside out. So now that he can't help but follow the Lord, strive to model his life after Christ, and his priorities and values are reshaped to align with God's. It won't look perfect, right? We're still works in progress. We're still people who remind ourselves, I'm simply a sinner saved by grace. That's what I am. And it's only by the God's grace that I am what I am. That I'm not what I used to be. That even though I struggle, He gives me the strength. That even though I fail, His grace picks me back up. And I look to Him renewed again. And so it won't be perfect. But as a man who seeks to do what's right, and repents when he's wrong, and a man like that fears the Lord and blesses his children. And so may we all, whether we're fathers or not, or men or women, fear the Lord. Because we know he is worthy to serve with our lives. And let's see what God will do. Let's see what God will do through people who are just simply faithful children of him, our God and our Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we look to you today, and I just pray that you would work in each heart this morning. Lord, you know perfectly what each heart needs. Lord, you know who needs encouraged, who needs challenged, and you know that all of our hearts, you know our past, and you still love us just the same. You know our past, and yet you still send Jesus Christ to die for us. And to redeem us, and to save us, and to empower us. Lord, even amidst our mess, you call us saints. Even amidst all that, we are sanctified and set apart for you. And we can't help but stand in awe of your grace towards us. And so I pray that we would fear you above all and love you and love others as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.